Hello! Welcome to Stories Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Weldon.
And I'm your other host, Kelsey Lee.
Today's story is called The Dragon's Gifts, an original story written for you by Daniel Hines. This was the story that we based our live show on. If you didn't get a chance to check it out, you can still access the show at live.storiespodcast.com. Today, we'd like to say a special thank you to Molly, Sam, and Ellie and their family in Bar Harbor, Maine, and Lexa and Lewin and their family in Oregon. Thank you so much, Lewin, Lexa, Ellie, Sam, and Molly. You are part of what makes it possible for us to continue to produce fun new stories for our listeners. If you would like to support Stories Podcast, you can leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, check out all of our merch available at storiespodcast.com/shop, and now we're also on Cameo. Check us out over there if you'd like to get a personal video message for someone special. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Stories Podcast. If you send us a drawing of your favorite scene or character, we'll share it on our feed. Now, here's a word from our sponsors.
Hey, grown-ups, power up your family's playtime with the Nintendo Switch System, the home of Mario and friends. Jump into the unexpected with Mario, Princess Peach, and more in Super Mario Bros. Wonder, or challenge each other to a race in Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Go to Nintendo.com and browse the full lineup of Nintendo Switch systems. Additional accessories may be required for multiplayer mode. Games, system, and some accessories sold separately.
Thanks! Enjoy the episode! The Dragon's Gifts. Once upon a time, among the pale sunlight and dancing snows of December, a village was preparing for Yuletide. It was their midwinter festival, where they gathered with their families and cooked and sang and exchanged gifts. It was a cheery time of year, and nearly everyone was in a merry mood. They laughed and smiled, they baked and cooked and brewed, they bustled over cobbled streets frosted with snow, moving from shop to shop, gathering ingredients for holiday meals and presents for their loved ones. Everyone loved Yuletide, but this little village was especially appreciative. You see, in the not-so-distant past, a dragon had come to the village. It was an ancient beast, all red eyes and red scales and red fire in its massive mouth. It had come with a hoard of treasure clutched in its claws, and it had landed on the spiraling mountain that towered over the village. There, it had used its flames to melt itself a cave at the peak, and it had settled in with all its ill-gotten gains. For years after, the town delivered up their best Yuletide treats and gifts as an offering to the dragon. They were afraid that if they didn't, he would swoop down and burn up their houses and eat their sheep and do all the other wicked things dragons did in stories. As you can well imagine, it was a very stressful few years. But then, something amazing happened. One year had a sudden and terrible cold snap. One night, it grew so cold that your tongue would stick to your lips and your spit would freeze and shatter on the way to the ground. It grew even colder on the lofty peak of the mountain, and the dragon's cave froze into a solid block of ice. And now, all these years later, it remained frozen solid. So, with that in their all-too-recent past, it was no wonder the people of the village took extra appreciation in their Yuletide celebrations. There was a song in every heart and a smile on every face, except for two. Kurt and Marta, young twins with old parents, just couldn't seem to get in the holiday spirit. Oh, sure, their mother was an excellent baker, and their father cut fresh pine boughs and decorated the house, but that wasn't the problem. The problem was with the presents lined up on the hearth of the fireplace. More specifically, the problem was the lack of presents.
"Only two presents each?"
Kurt asked, looking at the wrapped bundles.
"That's less than last year."
"It's half of last year," grumbled Marta. "Last year we got four each."
"Oh, come on now," said Dad, trying his best to sound jolly. "They're good gifts, and you know, it's been a hard year for everyone."
"Some people don't get any gifts at all,"
Mom agreed.
"Besides, the holiday isn't about gifts. It's about spending time together. It's about how we always make waffles on Yuletide morning."
And how we always have a snowball fight against the neighbors in the afternoon.
Or how we sing all our favorite songs all day, said Mom.
Now, quit being so worried about the presents. Yuletide is tomorrow, and you have the week off from school. Go outside and have some fun.
Okay,
the twins said together. They bundled up in their coats and boots and hats and gloves and trudged outside. It was a beautiful December day, with bright sun and a warm breeze that pushed back the chill. People were going about their business with songs and smiles, and kids were sledding down the shallow hill at the foot of the Dragon's Mountain. Kurt and Marta walked over to join them.
2 presents each, Marta said, plopping down in the snow.
It's not about presents, she scowled, imitating her mother.
Well, it's about presents for me.
Me too,
said Kurt. He laid back, looking up at the mountain that seemed to hang above them. For a second, he saw a glint of the sun against the peak. It flashed like gold, and it gave him an idea.
Wait,
he said, sitting up so suddenly his hat flew off.
I know where we can get all the presents we want.
What? Where?
Kurt pointed up to the top of the mountain where they could just barely see the frozen scoop of the dragon's cave.
There.
What? Oh, wow, Marta said. The dragon's treasure is all just up there. You really think we could get it?
I think we have to get it,
said Kurt.
It's not that big a mountain. And if we don't, it'll just be 2 presents each.
You're right, Marta said. We need to go up there for sure. But Mom and Dad will never let us.
They looked up at the frost peak, ignoring the other kids sledding and building snowmen and having fun around them.
I got it, said Kurt. Quick, come with me.
They ran back to the house and Kurt cracked open the front door.
Hey, a bunch of kids are going sledding and then they're going to ice skate on the pond across town. Our friends have extra skates, but we'll be gone until late tonight. Is that okay?
Sure, said Dad. Be safe and have fun.
And take these scarves,
Mom said, winding them around the twins' mouths so only their eyes blinked out.
I don't want you to freeze those cute little noses off.
Okay, Mom,
they said together, and then they headed off to the mountain. They walked past the adults all shopping and the kids all playing and quickly found the trail that spiraled up the mountain. The adults always said to stay away, that it was too steep and had wild animals to boot, but it seemed easy enough as Kurt and Marta snuck their way up the first few curves.
We're going to get so many presents,
Kurt said.
I can't wait, Marta agreed.
They walked up the trail as it wound around and around the mountain like a string of lights on a tree. They soon passed the point where most of the adults bothered to hike. The trail grew rougher and rougher as they went, all steep and rocky. The wind picked up with no trees to block it, and the warm breeze turned into an icy chill that seemed to cut through their jackets and chill them down to their bellies. After a couple hours, the peak of the mountain still towered above them, looking barely any closer than when they'd started.
This is going to take longer than I thought,
Kurt said, huffing a little with the effort of climbing.
Just think of all the stuff the dragon's gonna have, said Marta. I bet we'll be able to get any present we want.
They passed a crevice in the snow and heard a low roar. A shaggy wall of fur emerged from the dark and shook its long, tangled fur free of snow.
Ah!
Said Kurt, tumbling back on his butt.
Monster!
Shouted Marta, and she started kicking snow at the beast.
Hey, quit it!
The monster grumbled. He kicked snow back at Marta, his giant feet sending a wave of white that nearly buried her.
How do you like it? Don't you have any manners?
Kurt pulled Marta out of the snow, and they sat together, huffing and staring up at the monster. He was nearly 8 feet tall, all shaggy white fur with big blue lips and deep blue eyes.
You're a yeti,
said Kurt.
I've read about you.
Do they eat kids? Asked Marta. Do you eat kids? Don't eat us. I'm sorry. You just scared me.
The Yeti sat down next to them, smiling and brushing the snow from his fur.
I don't eat kids. Sorry I scared you. I forget how big I am sometimes,
he said.
I just heard you talking about presents and, well, I want a present.
The twins looked at each other and then back to the Yeti.
You want a present?
Asked Kurt.
What do you want? Asked Marta.
Well, what I'd really like is a sled. I see all you kids down the bottom of the mountain and it looks so fun. I tried to use one of the sleds someone left behind, but I broke it. I'm just too big. Yeah, with a big Yeti-sized sled, I could fly down the mountain. Whoosh! I know all the best trails already. You know all the best trails?
Asked Kurt.
Does that mean you know a quick trail to the top of the mountain?
I sure do,
said the Yeti.
This path you're on is the really long way. I know a secret way that's much quicker, but you really need to know your way or else you could tumble all the way down.
Hey, I'm Marta, by the way, and this is my brother Kurt. What's your name?
I'm Sharpa,
the Yeti said.
Nice to meet you.
He held out a giant paw, all wild fur with fingers big as sausages and nails like icicles, but he shook their hands gently.
Nice to meet you,
said Kurt.
So, Sherpa, do you think you could show us the quick way to the top? That's where the dragon got frozen with all his treasure. I'm sure there's some kind of big sled up there. He had all kinds of things from all over the world. Wow, you really think so?
Definitely, said Marta. I bet he has like a sleigh or something. That would make the perfect sled for a Yeti.
Woohoo!
Sherpa leapt to his feet, his shout so loud snow rained down from the cliffs above.
This is going to be the best Yuletide ever!
The brother and sister looked at each other and smiled.
This is perfect,
said Kurt.
We'll be up on top in no time. We'll get all the gifts we want. Mom and Dad won't even know we were gone.
Lead the way, Marta said.
Okay, come on,
Sherpa said, turning back to the snowy crevice. He effortlessly climbed an icy boulder and then offered down his hairy hand.
I'll help you up. Let's go!
The trio started to climb again. Sherpa's trail was even steeper than the other, and they frequently had to stop and wait for the Yeti to climb up first and then help them along. It was soon snowing heavily, the air quiet as a quilt. With his thick white fur, Sherpa seemed to not even notice the cold, but Kurt and Marta were soon shivering even in their coats. The wind here picked up icy bits of snow and blew them around like shiny needles that stung at their skin. They pulled down their hats and pulled up their scarves and trucked on, thinking only of all the presents that awaited them at the mountain's peak.
I could sure use some of Mom's hot soup,
Kurt said, shivering and thinking of the big iron pot that would be steaming at home for Yuletide tomorrow.
Oh, that sounds so good right now, Marta agreed. But we'll be warm soon. I bet the dragon's treasure has all kinds of good coats and hats.
Hats?
Came a creaking voice.
Who has hats? I need a hat.
Who said that?
Said Sherpa. The big Yeti tried to hide behind the kids who were, at the same time, trying to hide behind him. None of them with much success. A short and spindly form stumbled out of the squalling snow. As it got closer, they saw it was a small monster. It had pointy teeth and long fingers and tall, pointed ears like a rabbit. It was shivering, and its normally greenish skin was blue from the cold.
A goblin!
Sherpa said.
Are they dangerous?
Asked Kurt.
I'm not dangerous!
The goblin snapped. Up closer, they could see she was wearing a thin dress made from stitched-together hides.
The mountain is dangerous. I'm freezing my ears off.
Hmm,
said the Yeti.
I thought all goblins went south for the winter.
We do,
the goblin grumbled, getting closer so Sherpa blocked the worst of the wind.
I overslept and got left behind. I tried to follow them, but I got turned around on this lousy mountain, and now it's getting colder and colder, and I've got nothing to stay warm. But you said something about hats?
No,
said Kurt, not wanting the goblin to follow them.
I said cats. We need a cat?
No, we said hats, said Marta. There's a dragon who got frozen solid along with all his treasure at the top of the mountain. If you're cold, you should come along. I bet there's a fancy beanie or something mixed in with all that treasure.
No,
hissed Kurt into his sister's ear.
She's a goblin. What if she eats us?
These big ears are good for hearing,
said the goblin.
I don't eat people. Too many bones for the trouble. I like frogs and bugs. Sometimes I found a frog that just ate some bugs, and we call that the jackpot, boyo.
Marta laughed and Kurt smiled cautiously.
Okay, you can come with us. I'm Kurt. This is my sister Marta. And this is Sherpa. He knows all the trails.
I'm Big Beef Crocomus Rex the Ribbiter, but my friends call me Ribs.
Jump on, Ribs,
said Sherpa, stooping down to offer the goblin a piggyback ride.
You look frozen to death. Maybe my fur will keep you a little warm.
Not much dignity in it,
said Ribs, but she leapt up and clung to the fur with a happy sigh.
Oh, but you're warm, like a walking blanket. I love this fur.
Thanks, said Sherpa. I grew it myself.
Let's get going, said Marta. We need to make it to the dragon and back before it gets too dark. She and Kurt looked up at the mountain's peak. It was definitely getting closer, but there was still a long way to go.
Let's go get a hat,
Ribs cried, leaning forward on Sherpa's back and pointing the way ahead. They started up the mountain again, and the trail grew steeper and steeper as they went. The sides seemed to fall away, and when the twins looked down, they could see the houses of their village like tiny toys far below, with smudges of smoke drifting from the brick chimneys. Kurt was looking for his house and stepped too close to the edge. The icy scree rumbled and hissed and slid away under his boot. With a yelp, he fell sideways and tumbled towards the open air. Marta dove for him and missed his hand by an inch, and he started to fall, plummeting towards the village 1,000 feet below.
Hold on!
Sherpa yelled. He dove over Marta and slid on his belly and reached out with one long, shaggy paw. Kurt reached up for him and their fingertips brushed, but he was just out of reach and fell screaming into the open air.
Gotcha!
Ribs said, her long fingers locking around Kurt's wrist. She had one hand buried in Sherpa's fur and clung to Kurt with the other, both of them hanging off what felt like the edge of the world.
Pull me up,
Kurt said, feet kicking in the snowy sky.
Everyone hold on,
Sherpa said, and then he lurched backwards, dragging Marta and Ribs and Kurt back onto solid ground where they lay panting.
Hey, thanks,
Kurt said to the goblin.
You're all right. Sorry about all the eating us stuff.
No worries,
said Ribs.
You're not bad for a human. I mean, you didn't try to slay me or anything.
They grinned at each other and bumped knuckles, and then everyone smiled. Let's get going, said Marta. We need to be more careful, but it's got to be late afternoon already, and we still have more to climb.
Right,
said Sherpa.
This way.
As they trudged through the snow, Marta sighed. I bet Mom's baking cookies now, and Dad is probably getting snowballs ready for our big fight tomorrow. I hope they can do it without us.
Yeah, I kind of wish we were there.
Me too, but we'll have all the presents we want soon.
Yeah,
Kurt smiled.
Just gotta get to the peak.
Sherpa led them away from the sheer edge and into a winding path that switched back and forth up the icy ridges, everything robed in heavy white snow. After another hour or so, Ribs suddenly held up a hand and hissed for them to stop.
Quiet,
she whispered, cocking her head like a dog.
I hear something.
I don't hear anything.
That's because you have fur in your ears and I got these biggins,
the goblin replied, jerking a long thumb at her rabbit ears.
I hear someone coming up ahead. They're coming this way.
Everyone stopped and listened, and slowly they began to hear someone singing as they approached.
You might think I'm sounding sour, but I ain't seen a fern or flower growing in this mountain's gloaming gloom. But a fairy bright can't spread her wings, thinking about those long-lost springs I need my magic flower for to bloom.
As they watched, an angry little fairy, no taller than Kurt's boot, came hopping down the trail. And she was literally hopping since her wings seemed to be frozen to her back. With every leap, she'd fly a couple feet and then plop down into snow deeper than her head.
What are all of you looking at?
She snapped when she saw the four companions on the trail.
You've never seen a frozen fairy before? You think it's funny?
A little,
said Kurt, laughing at the giant frown on the minuscule mouth.
You know what's funny? You know what's a real joke? Your face!
The fairy said.
I'm laughing just looking at you.
Wow, sorry,
said Kurt.
You know,
said Ribs, licking her lips.
When you hop like that, you kinda look like a frog.
Oh, don't even think about it, booger lips,
the fairy snapped.
The last goblin who tried to eat me fell off the mountain. Except fell is the wrong word. Thrown like a sack of trash is more accurate.
Wow, I'm sorry too,
Ribs blinked. So, why aren't you flying? Asked Marta, before they could get into any more trouble. Are your wings frozen? Maybe we can thaw them for you.
Oh, thawing my wings! Why didn't I think of that?
The fairy asked.
Oh, yeah, because that's not how it works! I'm not a winter fairy. I'm a spring fairy who just happened to get stuck on top of this monster mountain. My magic doesn't work unless I'm near flowers. And do you see any flowers? Do you? No, not a one on the whole frozen mountain.
How'd you get stuck on a mountain?
Sherpa asked.
It's not like it's hard to miss.
The fairy's scowl faded a bit.
There was a special flower, a winter bloom. It was my family's job to guard it, but some humans stole it and then they sailed away. I've been following the trail for a long time now, and it ends here. It's somewhere on this mountain, but I can't seem to find it.
Oh,
said Kurt.
I bet the dragon has it. Dragon?
Asked the fairy.
I haven't seen any dragons.
Oh, it's frozen in a cave at the top of the mountain, Marta said. That's where we're heading now. You can come with us if you want.
The fairy looked at them suspiciously.
You serious? This isn't some kind of joke.
Oh, I'm serious, said Marta. And you can even ride on my shoulder to get out of the snow.
I don't know.
I mean it. I'm Marta. This is my brother Kurt, and this is Sherpa and Ribs. We're all heading to the dragon to get what we need. We'd love to have you along.
The fairy looked at her for a long moment and then nodded, letting Marta lift her to her shoulder.
I'm Olette,
she said.
Thanks for the lift.
Of course.
Kurt looked at the sky. The peak was close, but the sun was getting low, and their shadows were stretching off like giants into the distance.
We better get going,
he said.
I'm worried we won't be able to get back by night at this rate.
Don't worry,
said Sherpa.
It's always slower going up than down.
Let's do it, Marta said.
But she was more worried than she sounded. She still wanted all the presents, but she was also cold and scared and missed her parents something fierce. Kurt felt the same way, but they were afraid to admit it to each other. Sherpa started walking again, and now the trail was so steep they were practically climbing hand over hand. The sun was low and the clouds grew thicker and the world was a white wash of snow. Even through their coats and gloves and hats and scarves, the twins grew so cold they shook and shivered. Poor Olette and Ribs huddled close to Marta and the Yeti for warmth, but it only helped a little. Only Sherpa seemed unaffected by the cold. But he was grunting with the effort of breaking a trail through the deep and frozen snow. The snowstorm just got worse, and the sun set behind the clouds. It was like a switch flipped. One second it was light, and the next it was dark.
Sherpa!
Kurt hollered over the howling wind.
Can you even see where we're going?
Not really,
the Yeti shouted back, shaking his shaggy head.
But it's okay! We're here!
They all stumbled forward a few more steps on frozen feet and fell into the shallow bowl of a cave. It was wide like the shell of an amphitheater, but only a dozen or so feet deep. Still, it kept off the worst of the wind and the snow was only a few inches deep. They all fell to the ground to catch their breath and rub the feeling back into their fingers and toes, and then Marta turned and screamed. Kurt and the others whirled and they all shouted too because there, frozen in the ice at the back of the cave, was the colossal face of the dragon. It stretched from the floor to ceiling, easily triple the size of Sherpa. The mouth was frozen shut, but the eyes were open, the red pupils blazing out.
Oh man, he's huge, said Marta, still shaky.
It's okay, said Kurt, walking closer. He's frozen solid, but where's all the treasure?
The flower is close, said Alette. I can feel it, and if my flower is close, the rest of the treasure has to be close too.
Like my hat, said Ribs.
And my sled, said Sherpa.
Oh no, cried Marta. She had walked right up to the ice and was peering through, her face touching the frost. Look! Kurt and the others joined her, and they all groaned in misery. They could see the dragon's treasure, gold and gems and coats and sleds and toys and everything else they could want, and all of it just behind the mighty body of the dragon, frozen deep in the ice.
We came all this way for nothing, Kurt said, sinking to the ground. And now it's night and Mom and Dad are going to be looking for us soon, and it's too dark to climb down.
Marta sank down beside him, tears running down both of their faces.
We're going to miss begging with Mom and the snowball fight with Dad, she said miserably. We're going to miss all the songs and the Yuletide stories, and I just want Mom and Dad.
Me too!
Marta cried, and they clung to each other, crying bitterly. Ribs looked at them sadly.
We're gonna freeze up here before we miss anything, she said. Unless we can find a way to get a little fire going, we won't make it through the night.
I have a little magic left, said Olette, all her attitude gone now. If you can get some sticks, I can make a spark.
I'll do it,
Sherpa said sadly.
I'm the only one who won't freeze out in the storm.
He trudged off and found a few meager, scraggly branches while the others huddled together as far from the opening as possible. It was unnerving to see the dragon's giant head in the ice behind them, but they did their best to ignore it. The Yeti returned shortly with a scant armload of wood, and Olette summoned the last bit of magic to make a little flame. It wasn't much, but they soon had a small crackling fire. Between the flames and Sherpa's broad body blocking the wind, they all started to warm up.
I guess I'm not getting my sled,
Sherpa said, poking at the fire with a stick.
I guess wanting a Christmas present was too much to ask for.
Yeah,
croaked Ribs.
I guess I'll have to do my best to last the winter with no hat.
And I'll have to live without my family's flower, said Olette.
Then she turned to the twins.
And you two didn't have any gifts at home either. It's hard, right?
Well, kinda,
said Kurt. We only had 2 gifts apiece, said Marta.
2 gifts apiece?
Said Sherpa.
Wow, that's pretty lucky. I've never even gotten one.
And you have coats and gloves and scarves and hats,
said Ribs.
And your parents cook and play and sing?
Asked Olette.
What were you two even thinking coming up here?
The twins started to tear up again.
You've upset them,
grumbled Sherpa.
Good! They're nincompoops,
said Olette.
They're just kids,
said Ribs.
That's no reason to spit on me,
Olette snapped.
What? I didn't spit on you.
Then what's all this dripping?
They all turned slowly and saw that between their body heat and their crackling little fire, the icy wall was starting to melt and drip. Inside, the dragon's blazing red eyes, each as big as Sherpa's head, blinked once and then spun to stare directly at them.
Oh no, said Marta.
He can't get out, can he?
Asked Kurt.
Definitely not, said Olette.
And then the ice started to creak and crack.
Probably not.
A spiderweb of broken ice started behind her and spread across the frosty face as the dragon managed to open its mouth a couple inches, showing a growing flame behind wicked iced teeth.
Definitely, maybe! Everyone get back!
Kurt shouted, and then stumbled away as a surge of fire blasted from the dragon's lips and boiled through the ice, sending out a resounding ka-crack and a great hissing gout of steam.
He's getting free!
Sherpa cried. His snout free, the dragon opened his mouth wider and breathed more fire with a guttural roar. The cave was full of swampy steam and no one could see a thing.
Marta!
Kurt said, clinging to his sister.
Hold on!
You're squishing me, kid,
Ribs shouted back. There was a wash of warm water and then a deep and fiery chuckle.
Free! I'm finally free! The dragon laughed. Smoke and steam, fire and fury!
They heard the beast take a deep breath, and then he blew all the steam out of the cave and into the stormy dark outside. Suddenly, the twins and their companions found themselves face to face with the giant dragon. His skin was a crackled red leather, thick and thorny, and he brought his head low to look them in the eyes.
"You," he growled. "Thank you for freeing me."
"Don't eat us," said Kurt.
"We're all bones," said Marta.
"I'm all hair,"
said Sherpa.
"We're practically cousins," said Ribs.
"I'm not even a snack," said Olette.
The dragon chuckled again, his booming voice echoing through the cave like a drum they could feel in their chests.
"Why, I've never eaten anything but sheep my whole long life," he said. "What do you think I am, some kind of monster?"
"But you came here with all your stolen treasure," said Kurt. "And I heard you used to demand gifts every Yuletide."
"Well, who said I stole it?" the dragon grumbled. "I worked hard for all that treasure, and I never demanded gifts. I moved into this cave to get away from all the knights who kept trying to slay me as a trophy, and the village always brought me gifts for Yule, but I thought they were just being good neighbors. I never demanded a thing."
"Oh, I'm sorry," said Kurt.
"Considering you freed me from the ice, I can forgive you," the dragon said.
And then he settled down on all fours like a golden retriever.
"Ah, that feels good. You have no idea what being trapped in ice for 100 years will do to your back."
The companions drew closer now. The dragon was welcomingly warm against the freezing storm outside.
"Now, what can I do to repay you?"
Everyone looked afraid, but Sherpa stepped up.
"Well, Mr. Dragon, sir."
"My name is Gothmog the Great," he rumbled. "But you, my friends, can call me Moggy."
"Moggy, I came up here hoping you maybe had a sled. I'm big. Well, not as big as you, but too big for normal sleds. It looks so fun, and I was hoping maybe you had a bigger one."
"Let me look," Moggy said.
He turned and dug through his thawing pile of treasure.
"Sled, sled. Ah!"
He turned back around with a giant sleigh in his claws. It was beautiful, all red and white and big enough for an entire family to take a trip over the river and through the woods.
"Oh my gosh!"
Sherpa cried, jumping right into the sleigh. The bench seat crunched underneath him, but the rest held him perfectly.
"I fit! It's perfect! I can't believe it! Thank you so much."
The dragon smiled and looked back at the others.
"All right, who's next?"
"Hey, dragon, Moggy, sir,"
said Ribs.
"These long ears of mine are always freezing cold. I don't suppose you got some kind of hat big enough to fit 'em, do you?"
"Well, those are some impressive ears," the dragon growled.
He turned and dug through his treasure, sending swords and chests and suits of armor rattling around the ice. Finally, he spun back around.
"Aha!" he cried. "I got this from a wizard who tried to slay me once. I set his robes on fire and he ran away so fast he left this behind."
The dragon offered out a wizard hat, soft and pointed and towering tall. Ribs took it and gently lowered it down over her long, rabbitish ears.
It's perfect! So comfy, so cozy! My ears have never been so warm."
"My turn,"
said Olette, hopping up to stand right in front of the dragon's snout.
"You have my family's flower."
"A flower?"
"It never dies, not even in the winter, not even in all that ice."
"Well, I'll look," the dragon rumbled. "But it may take me a minute to find one little flower."
"Oh, forget that," the fairy said.
She hopped past the dragon and dove headlong into the massive pile of treasure, disappearing like a fish into water. There was a jingling and a jangling and a rustling and a rummaging, and then Olette burst out in a spray of gold. She was shining bright, a tiny flower in her tiny hands, and her wings were buzzing and sparkling. She flew past the dragon and then circled her new friends, whooping with joy.
My flower! My wings! I can fly!
Everyone applauded, and then the dragon turned to Kurt and Marta.
And what about you two? What gift do you want for Yuletide?
Kurt and Marta looked at each other and sighed. We thought we wanted all kinds of stuff, but really, we just wish we were home.
Yeah, said Kurt. It's Yuletide Eve and our parents are expecting us any minute for baking and games and singing, but we're stuck at the top of this mountain. We'll have to wait for the day and then hike all the way back down and we'll miss the whole day.
They started to tear up as they talked.
We thought we wanted all your stuff, but we just want to celebrate with our parents.
The dragon looked on and then smiled, a wide, toothy smile.
Well, you know, my wings could use a good stretch, and dragons can see in the dark quite well.
What?
Hop on, Moggy said. I'll give you two a ride home.
He lowered his massive head and offered up his spiny sides like a ladder. Before they could overthink it, Kurt and Marta climbed up and grabbed on tight to the dragon's horns.
How about you all? The dragon asked the others. Do you need a lift?
I'm sledding home,
Sherpa said, preparing his sleigh.
I think I'll stay here for a bit. Every dragon needs some goblin helpers.
And I'm flying home. Thanks for all your help.
Hey, it was great to meet you all, said Kurt.
We live at the base of the mountain. Come visit us anytime, said Marta. They all waved goodbye, and then Moggy flapped his giant wings a few times and launched into the air. Kurt and Marta clung on tight as they glided down the mountain, warm from the dragon's heat. They seemed to soar through space itself, the snow dancing in flurries all around them like whirling stars. All too soon, the dragon folded his wings and landed just outside of town.
If I get any closer, people may see me and start to panic. Let them know I just want to relax in my cave, okay? No one has to bring me any gifts.
Well, what if we want to?
You're welcome anytime, Moggy said,
and then he spread his wings and launched himself back into the storm. Kurt and Marta watched him disappear into the newly driven snow. Then, smiling, they walked back home. As they approached, they could see the cheery fire glowing yellow through their windows, could smell the delicious aroma of baking cookies and simmering stew, and could hear the rising voices of their parents singing their favorite songs. It was better than any present they could ever ask for. The end. Today's story, The Dragon's Gifts, was an original story written for you by Daniel Hines, edited and produced for you by Andrew Martin, and performed for you by us, Amanda Weldon and
Kelsey Lee.
To see a live performance of this story with fun songs, with games, and more, head to live.storiespodcast.com.
That's live.storiespodcast.com.
If you would like to support Stories Podcast, you can leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, check out all of our merch available at storiespodcast.com/shop, commission a special video on Cameo, follow us on Instagram at Stories Podcast, or simply tell your friends about us. Thanks for listening! Hey, Prime members! You can listen to Stories Podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today! Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus Kids in Apple Podcasts. Grown-ups, before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.